Thanks for listening to Schlereth & Evans On Demand, presented by Bathfitter. Hey guys, if you drop the ball when it comes to your bath or shower remodel, Bathfitter doesn't just fit your bath, they fit your budget and schedule. Bathfitter will install a tub or shower in just one day. Bathfitter's price guarantee is a slam dunk. Bathfitter, it just fits.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverSports.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverSports.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
We got some good stuff from Andrew Mason at DenverSports.com, and Mason will be joining us coming up at 8:30. We can ask him about some of these articles. The first one is, what matters most if the Broncos build a new stadium? And it seems like it's going to be a matter of when, not if, they build a brand new stadium. And Mace asks these questions. What's truly relevant in the stadium itself? First of all, he writes, what's best for football? And that is something I hope that they don't lose sight of, that whatever kind of stadium that they build, it still has to give that distinctive home field advantage that Mile High, even the new Mile High, has seemingly given the Broncos, whether it's the way that they construct it so that you can bang your feet on the floorboards and it creates that special kind of noise. He even brings up Vegas, that, you know, Vegas, whatever you want to say about the Raiders, that their new stadium is built in a way in which it is loud. And you can do that, right? Now, you've been at SoFi. You've been at gleaming new SoFi, Stan Kroenke's playpen. Does it strike you as an intimidating place to play?
One of the things that I think I've talked to players about makes SoFi really intimidating, I don't know, but hard to play at is there's so much visually, there's so much light and so many lit up banners, you know, like the whole stadium is like an electronic board. And so, like, you talk to quarterbacks and said there's a lot of eye distraction, if you will, within the stadium, that, you know, obviously they can make it much brighter when the visiting team is there playing with all the LA logos and all the stuff they've got going on. So, yeah, that I've had several guys tell me it's a tough place to kind of even warm up and practice because there's just so many visual things going on.
But if you're talking about how can it be done to make it intimidating, even with an outdoor stadium, you can do it. Denver, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Seattle, you can design stadiums in a way that even if it's open air part of the time, it can still be intimidating. But you do, I get what Mace is saying. You want to make sure that you build a stadium that's got all the bells and whistles, but you don't want it to be so cookie cutter. You don't want it to be so antiseptic that you don't have that home field advantage that Denver teams have enjoyed for so long. Mace also says location is going to matter, that right now you do have the benefit of a centrally located stadium. How do you think somebody who, let's say, lives in Castle Rock, all right, or Parker, will feel about the new stadium being built out by the airport, for example? Or if you're in Fort Collins and you're going out towards the airport, then you have to add on an extra 20-30 minutes to get there. How do you think people will react to that?
I mean, I think ultimately people will be fine, because I think it's probably, from a entering into an exiting, it's probably easier than being downtown, I would imagine. I don't know. I feel like people will be fine with it, regardless of where they build it. If it's out by the airport, who cares? The airport, you remember, the airport used to feel like it was in Kansas. Doesn't feel that way anymore.
No.
At least to me it doesn't.
Nah. You go out there all the time.
Right.
I go out there enough that, yeah, I make the trek from Lakewood. you know, and I go out to the airport. I did just last week, dropping my daughter off at school. It didn't feel that big. I drove out there, dropped her off, and I was back at home. And I think I did the whole thing in about an hour and 10 minutes. I mean, no biggie.
Did you even stop to send her off, or you just kick her out the door while you're driving by? You just slow down.
Open the door. Out.
Out.
See you in 2 months.
Yeah.
Well, see you later.
Finally, Mace brings up the PSL factor. PSLs, permanent seat licenses. Do you know that they are part of every NFL stadium that's been built over the last 20 years?
Yeah. So you have to buy a personal seat license just to buy tickets, right?
You have to pay for the privilege of paying for tickets.
Yes. Dude, whose brilliant idea was that?
I don't know, but that's the gold standard right there.
Can you imagine? You have to pay me an extra fee just to talk to me about paying me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my new speaking engagement principle. Oh, you want to potentially hire me for a speaking engagement?
Oh.
Okay. Well, my fee is this, but the fee to talk to me about doing this speaking engagement is this. You're just double dipping.
Yes.
I need to double dip.
Right.
That's the next level.
But you know what'll happen? Once you get that personal seat license, there'll be a brick outside the stadium with your name on it.
That's right.
Now that's cool. Hey, everybody, come over here. Take a look at my brick.
Look at my brick. That's next level, arrogance.
Yes.
Next level, just kick you right in the yarbles and not apologize.
That is just next level corporate greed. What are you going to do about it? Here you go. Have a taste. More from Mace as he writes, according to ESPN, the Rockies have none of baseball's top 100 players. So NFL Network does this every year. It's one of the highlights of the summer as we're grinding through the summer looking for topics until we get to training camp. And NFL Network obliges with their release of the top 100 players, and they do it, you know, 20 at a time, and becomes a big source of debate. And, oh, why is it the Broncos only got three guys, and why aren't they ranked higher, all this and all that. Well, baseball did the same thing, or ESPN did the same thing with baseball. Top 100 players in Major League Baseball did not include a single Rocky. No Chris Bryant, no Ryan McMahon, no Charlie Blackman, no CJ Crone, no Herman Marquez, no Daniel Bard, nobody.
Tonight it didn't happen.
Not one person in the top 100. Oh, but we got some prospects.
Woo!
They're going to be great.
Rockies are the only club in the NL West without a top 100 player.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego is 6, Dodgers 5, Arizona 3, San Francisco has 1.
Oh no! We suck again!
There are only 5 teams that do not have a top 100 player. How good does it feel to be included in this group? Cincinnati, Detroit, Oakland, and Washington. Although the Nationals were just in a World Series not too long ago.
Right. And Oakland is always that team that's... They're grooming top 100 players for the Yankees. And that with it...
Like a farm team, yeah.
Yeah, the A's are a farm team for teams that have a lot of money.
Well, not only are we a farm team for other teams, but we'll even pay you to take our players.
Our best players.
Yes, we call that the full Arenado.
Wait a minute. Is Arenado a top 100 player? Of course he is.
Of course he is.
So we don't have one on our roster, but we're paying one from
good
our
point.
Roster.
W.
So because it's almost like we have one.
Because I don't believe anything's changed. Nolan Arenado continues to be the second highest paid Rocky on their payroll this year.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta laugh because otherwise you'd cry. But hey, the kids are coming.
Oh yeah. Here they go.
Boy, they better have like five or six rookies on this team by the time we get to the All-Star break. If you try to suck me in and get me to pay attention with only a couple of them here, and you keep them all down on the farm,
yes,
you know, just to continue to create the illusion of what's coming,
yeah. Well,
I'll be annoyed, and I will not go to a baseball game this year.
Right, Mike, you gotta have them down on the farm so you can season them,
right?
You gotta have a little season.
I went to one game last year. That is so sad.
That is so sad.
Shame on you, Rockies. If your product has gotten so bad that me, a diehard baseball fan, you got me. Baseball's got me. They don't have to worry about losing me. They got
Mike
me.
Evans!
Yeah.
And I only went to one of your stupid games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got a problem.
Arenado, $16 million of his salary being paid by the Rockies this year.
Oh, that's jump change.
$16 million.
What's but I think like that stroking that check every week for Dick Monfort. We have to sell more beer. Look at this.
Do you know how many beers I need to sell to be able to cover $16 million? Not as many as you think.
Yeah.
By the way, really quickly, if Dick Monfort wants to sell, please sell. Please sell.
Yes.
Do you know that the Rockies are worth $1.5 billion?
That's awesome.
What are the Yankees?
The Yankees are worth. I saw something. Yankees
seven.
Were like
seven.
Seven. Yeah, 7.1 billion. Gosh,
Monfort. I think Monfort was only on the hook for. What was the number I saw once with that when the Monforts bought in? It was about, I don't know, $220 million.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know if it was that much. I don't even think it was that much. And now it's worth $1.5 billion.
Makes me want to puke.
Which is why, folks, he ain't selling anytime soon. Would he?
Yeah.
It's worth a ton. Makes a ton of money, and he has no pressure to put a great product out there. Wow. Does he have it knocked or what? He must be the envy. I'm telling you, if you like took an anonymous poll of every professional sports owner out there in baseball, football, basketball, hockey, I bet you Dick Monfort would be in the top 20. Maybe even the top 15, maybe even the top 10 of most envied owners by his fellow owners. Because he just makes straight cash without ever having any pressure to put a good product out there.
Straight cash, homie.
Well, you think of the Rockies.
Now, Am I wrong?
No, they've spent money, though. But, you know, they've spent money here and there chasing. It's not fair to say they don't spend any money because they've spent money, you know, now maybe... You know, some of the money they've spent has been ill-advised, but they've spent the money. But they've done a great job, as you always say, making that stadium a star. They've done a great job with that. And they're always in the top 10. They're just always in the top 10 of attendance. And you got to give them credit, man, from a business standpoint. What they've built down there with McGregor Square and everything they've done, and then the atmosphere in the stadium and how they've created that, it's a great product. I mean, not the product isn't. The baseball's not good, but the overall experience, I guess I should say, not the product, the experience is phenomenal.
Jake Shapiro writing at DenverSports.com how ESPN is all aboard the Deion Sanders bandwagon. Not only is the spring game coming up next month going to be the only game spring game broadcast on ESPN, but ESPN's website wrote an in-depth story on Sanders' first few months on the job at CU and goes into the massive fuel in popularity for CU football, as well as the celebrities that are now getting on board. You're seeing celebrities out there wearing CU gear, CU hats, and, you know, just the overall respect that CU football is now getting from around the college football world. It's amazing.
And they haven't played a game yet.
I almost wonder. You know, is it one of those things that you just hope it continues to? You almost wish it could just be a nonstop off season, and that they never had to actually go out and play games, just to kind of just keep this hype and the potential and the promise of what could be. Because all the wise guys are telling me, and all the CU fans like Jake Shapiro are telling me, hey man, don't put serious expectations on this team. Don't expect them to win six games. You know, this is still a team that's going to be lucky to win four games. Dude, you can't have this runaway bullet train of hype and think that it's going to continue unabated if you're only winning three or four games. They got to win games this year.
How many games did he win at Jackson State? They weren't a winning program, right?
Oh, they were by the end. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Can I get some efforting music here?
Yeah, we need a little efforting music.
The fast number we have right now is 27-6.
And everywhere I go, 27-6. What, in his last two seasons?
So, in 2021, he won 11 games.
Oh, okay. All right. So, he put together a winning program.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I look at expectations for CU. If you don't win six games, if you're not bowl eligible, I'd be disappointed.
Right. I just don't think that you can. Now, what you can do is you can have the immediate hype at the beginning of the season, right? You can have all the enthusiasm. You got the TCU game, you got the Nebraska game, and there'll be this massive amount of hype and interest. And even if they don't win games right away, as many people are predicting, there's still going to be that enthusiasm, right? But right. You know how it is. I mean, you start getting into week 6, 7, 8, and if the losses continue to pile up, that momentum's going to be lost. Now, I'm not saying you can't get it back again once you get into the offseason, and you know, you hope that the transfer portal stays open, more talent comes in, you continue to recruit well. There's no reason why you can't get that excitement going again and then expect the big jump in year two. But for this thing to run and continue unabated, wins have to come with it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question.
At least six of them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. By the way, the other thing you have to understand, like, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot going on right now. CU, I mean, it's just like you're plastered all over social media. They do a great job. Dion has done a great job from a promotional standpoint, not only for CU but for himself. It's a case study in how to promote, right? It's a case study on how to create excitement. One thing we know about this town, be irrelevant, and ain't nobody going to pay attention.
So you
don't win, like, because the Broncos run this town, and if you don't win up at CU, you become irrelevant quickly.
As far as his record at Jackson State, 27-6. Last 2 years, he went 11-2 and 12-1.
Oh, wow. Okay. He's great.
16-0 in conference play, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, and lost a couple of bowl games.
We coming!
Okay. We coming.
All right.
I'm in.
All right. Will Peterson writing at DenverSports.com how the Avs have surged in the most recent ESPN power rankings. Where would you say the Avs are up to now?
Okay, so they've surged. Power ranking. Where
surged?
I'm going to say that in the power rankings, Avs are three.
Three?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be very unhappy. They're 11th.
What? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
They've surged to 11th?
So, wait a minute now. No, hold on. So, now, this is actually, let me backtrack. So, 2 weeks ago, they were at 11.
Okay.
All right? Which is ridiculous, even, like, a week ago. but now they're up to five.
Okay. All right.
Top five.
That makes more
all
sense.
Right, all right, all right.
I went three. I think I'm a little bit more. I think what I said was probably a little bit more.
But they're making the biggest jump. Ryan Seacrest, Casey Kasem, countdown style. They're the one making the biggest jump. They went from 11 to 5.
Okay.
Nobody else in that vicinity has made a bigger jump than the Avs have.
That's right. That's right.
The only teams ranked ahead of them right now, Boston, Carolina, New Jersey, Vegas, and the Avs. So what this ranking tells you is that the team to beat for the Avs once again in the West is Vegas.
Okay.
We don't sweat Vegas anymore. Come on, no, Fever. Why do you do that? Why? You know, you think
hello,
after
Jinx.
You think after a couple years with us, with me, you develop a little bit more of a swagger.
Okay? I'm not going to. So quit asking.
What? Why won't you get all last year?
You kept
playing that time after time.
Hello,
every time,
Jinx.
Every time I said the Avalanche are going to cruise through the Western Conference farther part of the playoffs, you played it again. Go ahead, play it again.
Jinx.
And what happened? They cruised. So, just listen to me. Believe in me. Trust
me. Can't do it.
I won't steer you wrong. They're going to be fine.
Mike Evans just punched a guy.
By the way, that'll do it for the DenverSports.com front page. But on this Is It Just Me Friday, is it just me? Or there are many reasons to tune into the CSU women today playing in the Sweet 16 against Iowa. Mm-hmm. One reason being, wait for the handshake line. Have you been checking out some of these feisty handshake lines between the women's basketball teams in the tournament?
No.
So earlier this week, I think it was Louisville. One of their players got into it in the handshake line with an opposing player, and then last night in a women's WNIT game.
Wow!
This wasn't even a real tournament. This was the NIT.
It's real to them.
And a Bowling Green State player got punched in the face by a Memphis player in the handshake line.
That's assault, brother.
See, maybe I better start watching this. We got the Miami Twins. The one of the twins is shushing people. I mean, this is big time.
Yeah, these ladies are
vicious.
They're competitive.
Yeah.
And they'll fight. They'll fight afterwards. I like it. I love the intensity. It is Is It Just Me Friday. We referenced a couple of great articles from Andrew Mason. He'll join us in person next.
When the day is done, the game is over, and you need a break from all the stress, relax in your tub or shower from Bath Fitter. Bath Fitter will fit your budget with a price match guarantee. No money down, no payments for up to 5 years. Get the ball rolling. Visit bathfitter.com today.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
What? It's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
Is it just me Friday? We give you a chance to get those hot sports takes off your chest before you go off into the weekend. Send them to us on the RommelsLove.com text line. 303-713-1043 can be about anything or everything. All we ask is that you include plenty of opinion, plenty of humor, and plenty of snark. And if you want to include our new bacon scale in it as well, you can do that as well. Andrew Mason is our senior Bronco writer on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. He joins us now. And Mace, we're referencing a couple of articles that you wrote for DenverSports.com that we talked about during the front page. And Let's start with the big survey sent out to Broncos season ticket holders. What should all of us take away as the message being sent by the new Broncos ownership group?
I mean, pardon me. First, I personally think it's encouraging that they are seeking out the feedback of the season ticket holders. But second of all, I mean, when you have so many questions about if there's a new stadium, what would it look like? What matters? You know, whether it's about, you know, what's most important, whether it's being enclosed, being open air, all that sort of thing. I think what it tells you is that clearly this is a time when a new venue is in play, and that they are, I mean, that they are deep into the not the structural process, but they're deep into the thought process of what a future, whether it's in a renovated stadium or a new stadium, might look like. But I think the fact that there's so much about a new stadium kind of, and also questions about things like, what do you want out of it? Do you want retail? Do you want hotels? Things like that. I think it kind of tells you, well, you know, what sort of things that they're already brainstorming right now as they look toward the long-term future.
Yeah. I mean, this, in your opinion, what are the most important things to you, Mace? Like, for you with a new stadium, what do you need?
I mean, I'll kind of start with like the core basics of it. I think what you need is to create a comfortable experience for as many people as possible. And so you're talking about, plenty of entry points, so you don't have long lines to get into the stadium. You need a wide concourse. You need plenty of food options. So you can just grab a bite, and also enough food options to places to get food to where there's not long lines at the concession stand for most of the game. I think what you need is a place where it needs to, you know, be a comfortable experience. But then beyond that, I think what you're looking at is what are things that kind of help the Broncos win, right? I mean, what you want to do is create a pretty intense environment. Like I mentioned in my story, like you go to like in Seattle, and that stadium, Lumen Field, it's actually engineered to be louder. That was something that was very carefully thought of in the design process in terms of how they designed those massive overhangs that cover much of the stands on the sidelines. And so what you have there is an engineering feat that keeps sound in, is one of the reasons why that stadium is so loud and has allowed Seattle to have a pretty robust home field advantage. So I think for me, those are the things that like just go into kind of the basic comfort and process of going to a game. And then also things that could impact what goes on the field and create a home field advantage. I think those are probably the top of my list personally.
All right. Is this one of those things where, because the way I interpret it is, this ownership group is going to do what this ownership group is wants to do. I think they've already got their plan, or at least a rough outline of their plan in place. I think they're being nice in reaching out to the season ticket holders, but I think they already have an idea about what they want to do. I don't think that they're going to go into this with one idea and then say, well, the survey indicates that maybe we should think a different way. I just don't see that. Do you? Was this a courtesy, or do you think that they're truly going to form policy based on what they're hearing back?
Well, not policy, but I think that they may. I think that there are certain things, maybe not big picture, like where the stadium is, that kind of thing. I think I'm not sure that's going to be something that is solely determined by the research, but I think, you know, if you're asking people, okay, what do they want? What's important? I mean, and I do think it's interesting that there are so many things in there about, you know, fixed roof, retractable roof, open air, that sort of thing. I think they want something. I do think they want to build something that does reflect what the market wants. I think they want to figure that out right now. And part of the research, I think, is determining whether Broncos fans want a stadium that can have some open air element or not. And I think even though
if it's a retractable roof, for example, that's probably the most expensive option. But if people indicate that having at least some games be played in the open air is part and parcel of what they want, then I think they may think long and hard about that most expensive option, which is the retractable roof. That's one thing to consider. Like we talk about like all the options, whether it's fixed or retractable. Retractable roof could add anywhere from several hundred million to $1 billion to the price tag of what is ultimately built, compared to if the roof is fixed and in place, like in Las Vegas or Minnesota. Although in Minnesota, they have windows that slide at one end of the stadium, so you can create kind of an open air environment on some nice days.
Well, I will tell you this. I think retractable roof's a must. I don't care. They've got plenty of it. I'm not afraid to spend their money. So they got plenty of it. I'm good with that. For me, I'm good. Mace, are you good, Mike?
Yeah, these PSLs, are they? Boy, they sound daunting, right? I mean, is that just for ownership that has this deep of pockets? You're talking about charging people for the privilege of buying a seat. I mean, you're charging people to pay for the right just to go out and pay for a seat. I mean,
I get what you're saying, and I know that's something that's going to probably, that will raise some eyebrows, certainly, but part of it is, part of it is also what will the market bear? And in other NFL markets, it's been shown that the market will bear that cost. I mean, I would say this, I mean, if you had to choose between public financing and PSLs as part of the cost, I mean, I think you would choose, you'd much rather have it be on those who are going to use the stadium rather than the general public, the taxpayers at large. Like in Carolina, for instance, when they built Bank of America Stadium, originally it was built with private financing, and part of the logic was, all right, it's the people who are going to use it that are going to bear a percentage of the cost and not the general tax base of Charlotte and North Carolina. So, I mean, that's sort of the rationale behind it.
But just so I have this straight, a personal seat license means you pay an exorbitant fee to then get the right to then buy a season ticket, correctly? Am I correct?
Yes, that is how it works.
Mm.
Wow! Mace. Who came up with that one? That is genius.
I'm telling you,
Max Muehlman is the name of the person that originated that.
Max Spielman?
Muehlman.
Muehlman.
Because the first major PSL concept in the NFL, it was in Carolina when the expansion Panthers started. Although there was a limited concept on that, I believe, with the Charlotte Hornets. With some premium seats when they started back in 1988.
Man, wow, that's amazing.
Mace, I am trying to figure out how I can create a personal, like a personal license to for the fan to work with me. So they've got to pay me what they have to pay me, but they have to pay me just for their privilege of having me work for them.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I'll say this. I mean, over and over in NFL markets, it's been shown that there are enough people who will pay for this. I mean, again, it's a market driven thing. What will the market bear? And in the last 20 years, every stadium in the NFL built has involved some level of PSL funding for the construction process. So that's sort of the market reality.
Whew, okay. It should be fascinating to see how it all plays out, and you'll be covering it every step of the way for DenverSports.com. Thank you, Mace.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
Andrew Mason on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. We got the Players Club coming up next, live from Vegas. We got to see if we can check in with our guy Richie Carney, the biggest Michigan State fan in Colorado. How's he feeling, not only after his team lost, but his head coach disgraced himself in defeat? Yeah. That's next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Looking forward to next Thursday. Make sure Mark takes a nap, because we're holding a very special fan VIP event where you can mingle with us, the fan hosts, and catch an exclusive early screening of Air, starring Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. The movie doesn't open in theaters until April 5th, but you can see it early with us and hang out with all the fan hosts, myself, Stank, Nate, Zach, D-Mac, Derek Wolf, to name a few who will be there. We're giving away four VIP seats right now to the movie, so you can be a hero. Bring three friends with you, three family members. Caller number four right now, 303-713-1043. Good luck on this Is It Just Me Friday. Is It Just Me? Or I'm surprised that you are so unfamiliar with the personal seat license concept. No, I'm not. I'm well aware of it. But it's in the context of here in Denver, we've never seen it. And if it's going to be a part of it, I think a lot of people aren't aware of what a PSL is. And so I am bringing about and shining a light on the flat-out ridiculousness and over-the-top greed of a personal seat license where you pay for the right to buy a season ticket. That is next-level stuff, man.
Yeah, no, I totally understand the concept of it. I'm just saying it's like the first time to ever do it. Just they're like, that's the bold strategy, Cotton. Like, hey, man, you know what we're going to do? We're really going to stab these people. Like, not only are you going to pay for the ticket, which is exorbitant, and you're going to pay parking, you're paying all that stuff, but we're going to give you we're going to make you pay for the option to buy the ticket. I just think that is very bold. It's very bold. And I like it.
Is it just me, or why is this radio station so hell-bent on shoving CU football down our throats? You do realize there are more CSU alumni than CU alumni, right? Tell you what, CSU alumni, you get your spring football game on ESPN, and we'll shove CSU football down everybody's throats.
Just the overall level of just, I mean, that is, did Tom Izzo send that text? I mean, why not us? Because you guys are not relevant in the overall landscape of college football. There.
And by the way, neither was CU.
No, they weren't.
I mean, we have gone to great lengths to ignore CU football as well.
Right.
Over the years. Because guess what? Even CU football fans didn't care about CU football. Yeah. All it took was the arrival of Deion Sanders and the unprecedented interest that has surged since primetime got here to show you how little CU football resonated. And now there's a genuine buzz. So tell you what, CSU, you don't like it? Do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And yeah, by the way, as I've said repeatedly, all this buzz and hype is great, and it is exciting, it is fun, but at some point, Deion's going to have to start winning games. Otherwise, because you know how it is. When you build something like this up that fast, people are just going to be laying in the weeds waiting to see you fail so they can knock you down. So, you know, they're going to have to win games. You're not going to go, you can't have this hype continue unabated throughout the season and go 3-9.
Yeah, no.
Okay? So, otherwise it'll die quickly and people will revel in these losses, including CSU fan. But, CSU fan, don't like it, do something about it.
Yeah, that was, you talk about, what was our bacon scale?
Okay, what's
scale
our bacon
again?
Scale? All right, yeah, so all right, let's that's a great one. Let's test this out now. We got a new bacon scale. So if the milk scale goes whipping cream,
right,
or half and half.
Whooping.
Whole milk.
Yeah.
2% and skim.
Right.
The new bacon scale is pork belly.
Pork belly.
Thick cut.
Thick cut.
Regular.
Mm-hmm.
And turkey bacon.
Turkey. Yeah,
that was turkey bacon.
That was straight up turkey bacon.
That was straight turkey bacon.
You ought to be, you know what? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Come on, Texter.
Yeah.
You know what? I want you to take this weekend. I want you to sit back. I want you to reflect. some moment of quiet, maybe a dark room, and think about that text.
Yeah. Okay? The error of your ways.
Yep.
Think about the error of your ways.
Yep.
Then I want you to come back Monday, feeling refreshed. And, I want you to apologize on the text line.
Johnny just reminded me in my ear, and I'd forgotten about this. Thank goodness Fever was here for this.
Uh-huh.
He says, don't forget to smear Paxton.
Oh, my goodness,
because the Johnny. Campaign is back.
You know what? I thought about it early in the show. I was like, that's too early. And then, I hadn't thought about it since. Johnny saved the day.
So you want to get it in? You want to do something?
Absolutely.
Go ahead. You do it.
That CSU text was about as worthy as having Paxton Lynch as your quarterback. Well, that works, right?
Good. Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. Feels good to have the smear campaign back.
Yeah, it just felt like something was incomplete, in our lives. Something was missing.
We thought we solved our quarterback. We thought we got a franchise quarterback.
So now the smear campaign is back. It's on you, Russ, man. Those of you who don't like the smear campaign, again, not our fault. We made the rules. We set the guidelines. They were endorsed by you. It's like the collective bargaining agreement in football. Right. I know the players don't like the franchise tag, but you agreed to it.
Right.
So stop complaining. Right. And you as listeners, you agreed to the idea that the smear campaign would end when Paxton Lynch became a starting quarterback again in the NFL or the Broncos solved their quarterback of the future. And we ended it when they traded for Russell Wilson. That was the deal, but you know what happened. So now the smear campaign is back on.
It's the way it should be.
Yep.
It's, until Russ. I mean, you think Russ, like of all the things that should motivate you to play better, This should be on the top of the list.
I agree.
Because what you're doing
I agree.
You're besmirching somebody you probably don't even know.
Right. It's your fault.
Yeah, it is your fault.
You had one of the most famous smear campaigns ever in the history of Denver radio went away because we believed in you so much, and now we have to bring it back because you failed so much.
Yeah.
If that is an inspiration.
That's right. You should have your own t-shirt. Instead of let's ride, after every press conference this year, you go, let's end the smear campaign.
Last text, I love this. Of course CSU has more alumni, because they let anyone into that school.
Gotta love
when it gets salty like that.
Yeah,
nothing like good college-to-college hate.
Spicy.
That's like a women's NIT basketball line going through shaking hands afterwards. That's what that becomes.
That is a lot of anger.
Oh. Well, we've got the Players Club coming up next. Richie Carney, the biggest Michigan State fan, is out there with the boys, and we'll find out what kind of shape he's in.
He's not on the roof. They found him.
After listening to Tom Izzo yesterday, can we play one Tom? Just one Tom. I know you want us to get out of here, but here's Tom Izzo explaining away what happened to Michigan State and their loss to Kansas State.
Yeah, I'm so proud of these guys for a lot of reasons. I mean, give them credit, but I mean, they banked in two shot clock threes. They made some big plays, but some of those plays weren't big plays. They were lucky plays, and I didn't think we played our best. I think some of it was them. I think some of it was us.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Man. It's the old luck got us.
Hey, outfit Tom Izzo with a tube and let him go down the Paxton Lynch lazy river of tears on I Told You So Island.
You're invited, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, you're invited. A week. Okay, Players Club from Vegas, live, coming up next.
When your team is in hot water and you need a break from the play-by-play, Bathfitter can install your tub or shower in just one day. And just like a coach, Bathfitter's in your corner offering a watertight, seamless wall. A design consultant will take accurate measurements of your tub or shower and recommend the products that fit your budget. Bathfitter has special financing available with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. Now that's a game changer. Visit Bathfitter.com to book your in-home consultation. Bathfitter, it just fits.